Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So we are back after a short summer break. So since launching the podcast in August last year, it now has 110,000 listeners in total. So thank you very much for listening. So in this week's episode, I chat to Vivek Bajaj. He's the founder of Credent Academy. So Credent Academy is one of the foremost professional training institutes in India with a focus on financial and capital markets. So basically anyone can become a financial market expert. So we'll talk about how we got started, developing content across multiple Indian languages, plans for expansion in Southeast Asia, the vision of the company. Also, Vivek has created an amazing analytics platform for this Indian stock market as well, which already has 25,000 downloads. And with a background in accountancy and building a number of businesses over the years, he gives us excellent financial and recruitment advice if you're thinking about starting a business. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Vivek. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Hi, Neil. Hi. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Brilliant. Tell me a little about yourself and what you're doing, please. Sounds interesting.
Oh, so Neil, we are based out of India, and we are trying to develop a complete ecosystem using technology to facilitate deep financial inclusion, financial penetration in our country. Mm-hmm. As you know that India is one of the strong growing economy with very strong growth in the middle class population. The need of understanding of financial inclusion in two sense, through financial literacy and through financial knowledge distribution. Mm-hmm. We are trying to integrate a strong technology orientation into a distribution of financial knowledge in society. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is happening through a learning management system, that is happening through through the analytic platform which we have developed, mm-hmm. where people get access to various data and data visualization tool, mm-hmm. so that they can easily comprehend what's going on in the financial markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is this like a learning platform for people who want to get into finance, would you say?
That's right. Okay. That's right. So in a very simple form, it's a simple learning platform where people who are interested in finance and financial markets, mm-hmm. they can plug themselves into it. Mm-hmm. But apart from a basic learning platform, what we have done is we have integrated a lot of interactive learning tools, and we are kind of creating a gamification framework, mm-hmm. where people actually learn by practicing, by playing the game, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and by keeping track of the market through various live market tools as well. Mm-hmm.
So who's this actually for then? Is it for people who want to get a job in the financial industry, or is it be for students or working professionals or families, etc.?
Yeah, so Neil, if you see the age bracket, which is very, very vibrant right now in India, that is the age bracket from age 18 to 36. Mm-hmm. That's why we call India to be the youngest country in terms of the manpower which is coming into our system. So the target is to cover up that complete age bracket. Mm-hmm. So right after high school, whenever a student gets into the graduation mode, immediately a need of value-added program like ours come into picture, because the traditional academic programs like BCom and BBA, etc., they have become kind of a need program rather than a value-added career programs. Mm-hmm. So a program like us, which caters to an age bracket, right from age bracket 18, which is more of job-oriented and career-oriented. But as you progress and you get into a job, and once you start earning salary and make money from the job, your need of investing that money to generate more money out of that money comes into center stage. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's not just about career program, but it's also about a lot of programs which is helping people to manage their funds properly, mm-hmm. and generate more return out of their existing funds.
Excellent. Can you share some stats then? How's it going so far? I mean, how many people have signed up and gone through the program?
Okay, so we have been running this offline academy since 2008, mm-hmm. and we must have trained almost 10,000 people directly and indirectly into financial markets. We launched the online portal called elearnmarkets.com, which is purely an online delivery, and whatever philosophy or practical orientation we had in offline, we have converted that to a lot of interactive tools online. Now, in last 1 year of existence, we have trained more than 1,000 people from across geographies. Mm-hmm. India, obviously, as internet penetration goes strong, the broadband connections goes better in India, and the mobile commerce is picking up like anything in India. There is a lot of interest of students as well as market participants to get knowledge online. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, this 1,000 in last 1 year has been extremely encouraging, because what we did in last 7 years, literally we have, in terms of top line, literally we have done that in last 1 year. So the number is quite exciting, and we have also launched our analytic platform called Stockage for Indian market. Now that platform gives students and other people the access of market data and gives a lot of visualization, a lot of output-driven analytics. That is also helping us to attach with a lot of new people in the system. Mm-hmm. Like almost 25,000 users have downloaded our app Stockage, which is a high, which is an extremely lucid and high-end data analytic tool for stock markets. So all these 25,000 guys, eventually they will need support from us in terms of knowledge upgradation, in terms of hand-holding to understand these data points. Mm-hmm. So I see a huge number for both of our tools, for e-learn markets as well as for Stockage in coming 1 year.
Excellent. I mean, how big do you want to go with this then? Obviously, this is for the Indian market. Any plans for overseas markets?
So we will be definitely going to the next level by catering to Asia-Pac region. Because I think that region is still underserved in terms of financial education. I think India is definitely one of the top three countries in Asia-Pac region in terms of financial market penetration. But we have started offering our services to country like Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. And we are talking to someone in Thailand. We are talking to someone in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And we are also focusing on building regional contents. So I'm here in the eastern part of India, and I'm here in a state called West Bengal, where, mm-hmm. where a very strong base of Bengali population is here. Now, we are developing a lot of content in local language, in Bengali language. We have developed a lot of content in Gujarati, a lot of content in Telugu. So the idea is to, as we move to other geographies, our strength on creating content on regional language has to be improved. Because English is definitely followed, but the moment I add the local language as part of English, for example, Hinglish. Mm-hmm. Now, the content which we are developing in India for our Hindi audience is more of English. You know, training people on derivatives in pure Hindi may become a challenge, but the moment I say that, yes, derivative is derivative in English or Hindi, whatever, but conceptually I can train them derivatives in Hindi, that will be more value addition which we are bringing in society rather than, you know, purely English-based training.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Let's talk about you then. I mean, what's your background and how did you come up with this idea?
So, Neil, I am actually a chartered accountant and company secretary, and I did my MBA from IIM Indore.
Okay.
Now, obviously, an MBA gives a very, very holistic perspective of how to do a business. And while I was, you know, doing my graduation, I realized that there is no institute who is focused on helping poor mortals like us to learn about financial markets. Mm-hmm. And financial markets, economic affairs, current affairs, you know, these are extremely basic things which everyone should be updated. Mm-hmm. Not just because you want to invest or you trade, but also because if you know financial economics, you can plan your business or your career much better. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately the cycles, the bubbles, the existence of finance in your life mm-hmm. is always there perpetually. Mm-hmm. So there was no specific institute which used to help us to do that. So I started this academy in 2008 as an offline academy. We mm-hmm. did a lot of work in the offline, in tier 2, tier 3 cities in India, mm-hmm. where we used to provide free education to people on learning about a basic concept like compound interest, basic concept like the risk return profile. People in India, they don't understand the risk associated with things like chit fund. Mm-hmm. And they invest their hard-earned money in those funds, eventually looking at the funds, eventually taking away the money from them. Mm-hmm. So India is highly deficient in terms of right financial education. And in last 7 years of our existence, I think we have done a pretty good job in making people aware about the risk associated with various financial products.
Excellent. So what were the early days like? I mean, were you making money from day one? I mean, or did it take like 6 weeks to get it going? What was the journey?
So education is always a challenging business in terms of generating the positive cash flow for initial years. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately what you create in initial years is a brand, which is an intangible. So it took us a lot of time, and especially when you are into a niche product, where you are literally creating a market. Mm-hmm. So we never copy paste anyone, because financial education in 2008 was never something which people were keen on as a business. Mm-hmm. So this is a market we literally created. So initial few years was obviously tough. I have to invest a lot of my money as well as my time, mm-hmm. because time is also money, right? Mm-hmm. So the ROI from the business was not good. But as my base is there, now using the technology, I can see a multiplier effect in the business growth. And this is how we are making money, and we intend to make a lot of money from this exercise.
Excellent. So you've been doing it for 7 years. Can you remember like the breakthrough moment then that you knew this, you know, this was going to work?
So that happened actually in 2014. Mm-hmm. And that is when we thought that now we have to expand, because we can't be restricting ourselves to one location. And we thought that the best way to do that is virtual world. And we created this website, elearnmarkets.com. And the first 2 months were so encouraging. And we were able to convince the organizations like National Stock Exchange, Bombay Stock Exchange, Multi Commodity Exchange. Mm-hmm. And we became their partner for e-learning in financial markets. Mm-hmm. That's where we realized that this is something which we have done pretty nice. And if the organizations like those are convinced that they're becoming partner with us. Mm-hmm. And we got good sales in the initial first quarter. Mm-hmm. So that's, I would say that it's a breaking moment for us.
Excellent. So are you a first-time founder then? Is this your first shot at building the company?
No, Neil, if you see, business or entrepreneurship is in our blood. So maybe this is, I would not say that this is a first-time entrepreneurship or a first-time venture which I've undertaken. During the college days, during the school days, we mm-hmm. were involved in a pretty business ventures. Mm-hmm. My family is from a business background, so that also adds on to the risk-taking ability inside me. Mm-hmm. So, so this business venture has been kind of an added venture mm-hmm. to my other ventures. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I would not say that it's a standalone venture. Because I had other ventures mm-hmm. which was giving me cash flow, I was able to sustain my livelihood in this venture. Mm-hmm. Because for any entrepreneur, it's extremely important that you have some cash flow from somewhere up and running. Otherwise, you will get break in 6 months or 8 months.
How big is your team now?
So, I have three ventures. One is a pure technology-enabled financial market trading venture. There, we have around 50 people. Mm-hmm. My academy and financial education business has around 30 people. And the technology piece, which I have latestly developed, that has around 12 people right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is the businesses where directly I'm involved. But apart from that, there are other family business which we have. There we have around 250 people. Mm-hmm. But there we have collaborative work of various family members involved. So I'm not including that as part of my working. Mm-hmm.
So you got three or four ventures. I mean, how do you keep on top of things then? How do you prioritize things?
Yeah, so as I was telling you that I think one of the biggest strengths which I carry is to identify the right partner for each businesses. And I've been blessed to get good partners for each business. For education, we have a partner called Vineet. For e-learning, we have again Vineet who's taking the lead. For tech piece, we have a partner called Vinay. So all these guys are old guards who have been with me. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to convince them to become part of this new venture. And they have done pretty good both of us have done pretty good for each other. Mm-hmm. So basically, partners drive the business. My role is obviously to be involved in the business. Apart from that, I give a good vision to this whole working. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we develop good team of L2, L3s who execute the business properly. Mm-hmm. So people management is something which fortunately I've been able to do properly in my life.
Okay, let's talk about that then. Any tips then for people listening who want to recruit people?
I think first you need to understand who you are. What is your aptitude? Mm-hmm. And you will only gel with your wavelength, it only will match with someone who is exactly in line to your aptitude. Mm-hmm. So if I, like for example, I'm a moderate person, I'm a conservative person.
Mm-hmm. You're an accountant, right? So that makes sense.
Right. So I need to get on along only with people who have similar kind of a mindset. So I had my bit of failures as well in terms of people identifying the right people, because at times I had recruited or I have worked with some very aggressive people, mm-hmm. but I eventually seen that they will always think about themselves and I will not make money out of that association. So it's always essential to work with people with whom your mindset will work, mm-hmm. which is typically your nature will be exactly in alignment to their nature.
Excellent. Okay. You mentioned vision before. What's the overall vision of the company?
My overall vision is use technology to the core of every activity. Not that I don't like people working in my organization, but everyone should have technology as a base of their working. And simple problems in our society that can be solved using technology. If we can channelize that, there is enough business potential available, which should always be in alignment to giving back to society. So we can anytime do a business of various not solicited businesses or vice businesses, but they don't add value to the society. And because fortunately we are well qualified, we have so much of education as our backing, society has given us so much. If we give back to society using technology and solve common problems, there is enough opportunity in the world, not just in India.
Excellent. What would you say is the highlight of your career so far?
The highlight of the career has been that every 3 years, I've been able to create a scalable business for myself. This is what, you know, I was doing this a couple of days ago. I was doing this mathematics where I was seeing that what has happened to my business, my career since 1999 when I graduated from my commerce degree. I saw that, you know, every 3 years I've been able to create a sustainable long-term business for myself, and I moved on to create another one after that.
Nice.
So maybe I'm quite restless in creating new businesses. That can be one of the thing. Or I've been able to solicit good talent who has kind of taken up a business and grown with me and then carried over the business together.
What would you say is the most surprising thing about your entrepreneurial journey so far?
There have been surprises on the failure side. But on the success side, I don't think so. I'm surprised because what I've started with a vision that has always worked with that vision. On the failure side, there have been a lot of surprises. But on the success side, because, you know, when I started Academy in 2008, the objective was to give back to society, to spread knowledge. The money making was never the objective. So we became a decent brand with that objective. But in 2010, when Vineet joined, the objective was to make money also. And we were able to make money and redeploy that money in our business. So I think there were no surprises per se on the success side.
Give me an example of the failure then. You said some of the surprising things have happened when you failed. Just any stories?
So there have been a couple of associations with people and I have gone into joint ventures with them. So I think surprises was more in terms of HR management and also in terms of regulatory scenario in our country. So there have been surprises when suddenly government has become kind of aggressive in something or they've changed their stance. There was kind of an aback or surprise element that why can't we see a consistency in the way our government is thinking? Why suddenly after 3-4 years of working, we realize that, oh, this is not the government is intending to do. There's something else which is there in their mind. And your business structure actually suffers because of that change in the intention.
Okay.
So that's more external, I would say. Internally, I don't think so. There has been, internally, I would say it's more of personality surprises that as a personality, you keep on changing every 4 years, 5 years because of your family orientation, because of your maturity. So that has added to the surprise that now I'm much, much cooler and calm person than what I was 3 years ago. Maybe age or maybe family orientation has changed as well. So that is giving me surprises.
Excellent. Last few questions then. In the next year, what would you say are the critical big milestones that you need to achieve?
By next year, we have a target of connecting to 1 lakh financial market enthusiasts in our country. People who are looking at the markets, who believe that financial market is the place which will help them to create wealth for themselves. So my target for till next year is if we can touch those 1 lakh people and add value to them, either through education or through analytics, I think we will be set for becoming the next one of the top three financial market ecosystem provider in our country.
Brilliant. What advice would you give to startups about growing and marketing a startup?
The biggest advice is save money, because you know spending money is a very luring, is very comfortable thing to do, mm-hmm. because your tendency to spend extra is always there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love to spend, right?
Yeah.
So it's very important for a startup to save money and have ROI for each and every money spent. So if you have spent 1 lakh rupee or 50,000 rupee for any exercise, it can be marketing, it can be recruitment or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there has to be clearly defined return on investment of that money spent.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Any startup, I think the biggest challenge of startup today is there are too many people ready to fund a startup.
Okay.
So we should actually be careful of taking money from anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And a communication has to be clearly given to the investor that, listen, I'm not going to spend money the way you want it to be, or I'm going to be a spendthrift, but I'm not going to compromise on growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Who are your business heroes or heroes in general?
See, I love to read about the guys who are from my community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically from a Marwadi community.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to read about these heroes and how they have created a fantastic business enterprise during the time when India was actually going through tough times.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Birlas, the Tatas, not Tatas, obviously, they're not from my community, but the Birlas,
mm-hmm.
the new generation businessmen who are from my community, especially the guys who are doing phenomenal on the tech side,
mm-hmm.
all the Bansals, which are ruling the country right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is no tagging of a community with a business model, right?
Mm-hmm.
That on a tech side, only South Indians can do good. On the real business side, the North Indians do way better. Fortunately, I'm seeing that tagging is getting untagged in India now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very impressed with the way technology business are getting oriented, with a lot of people from my community mm-hmm. becoming heroes in those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So those are guys, I read a lot about them and I get encouraged. And obviously when we talk about tech, US is a place where you get a lot of new generation tech ideas getting originated. So good inspiration from them as well. But I prefer to stay in-house mm-hmm. and know more about the success story of India mm-hmm. rather than going outbound.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah? Last few questions. What are your hobbies and interests outside work? Obviously you're really busy, but is there anything you like to do?
Yeah, so I read a lot. I like technology a lot. I adapt to all latest technology gadgets,
mm-hmm.
so which actually keeps me busy, which is good as well as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of a family person, so I'm blessed with three children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to allocate a lot of my time to them and their activities, their sports, their studies, etc., etc. So I'm a kind of a family guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm active, but more oriented towards family rather than, you know, going to socially to all places and every place. Okay.
What do you do on a Sunday then?
I beg your pardon?
What do you do on a Sunday?
Sunday, as I said, I'm a family guy. So totally Sunday is meant for family, no office, no social functions.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be family because I have quite a rich family in that sense. So a lot of my time and energy goes to them.
Excellent. Last question.
And that's to be up and running for the weekday.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Last question. If people want more information, what must they do?
Yeah, so my LinkedIn profile is there. I'm very active on the social media. Mm-hmm. So whoever wants to buzz me, and I've given all my contact details also there, yeah. My email ID, my cell phone number, etc. Because I love to hear from people who want to know more about me and who want, if I can add value to their life. So I'm available on social media all over.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Vivek. I know you're busy and I wish you all the best.
Thanks a lot, Neil. It was nice talking to you. Pleasure.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you. Bye. Thanks for Vivek for coming on the show today. If you want more information, go to www.credentacademy.com. Thanks for listening and subscribing. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. Thank you for supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. If you have any feedback on the show, or if you want to come on the show, please email me hello@neilpatel.co or tweet @IndianStartupSH. Or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. We'd love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.